How many almonds would you say is the perfect amount?
I don't know, 24.
Well, I am now the proud owner of onealmond.com. How much would you say google.com is worth?
Billions. Tens of billions of dollars.
Okay, right. And onealmond.com?
Zero.
Zero billion or $0?
It wouldn't matter. It's all zero.
It's more than just a domain name. I'm building an empire.
Well, right now the website's just a photo of you holding a single walnut.
Almond.
No, it's not.
TBTM. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's Friday. Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
Do you just sit around all day thinking of nice things to say to people?
Well, it's not necessarily during the day, but I do like to be nice to people.
You got a dangerous streak and a not dangerous streak.
Poppycock. Bull feathers.
Watch out for that first step. It's a doozy.
Well, hello, good morning, and welcome to a Friday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Okay, let's do it.
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
Welcome to my world.
Coming to you this morning from the studios of Walsh and Dormat in the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. It's a cloudy day here in Seattle. I believe the temperature has dropped by 130 degrees since yesterday. Where's your global warming now? Am I right? No, I'm wrong. I would be wrong if I said that, because that's not how climate change works. Here's how episode 2923 in a collector series is going to work.
Let the fun begin.
We're going to tell you about some of our top stories, including my new media hero, who is actually a weatherman from Illinois.
You're like the coolest person I've ever met.
I don't usually think of weather people on TV as being the coolest people. Well, I've never met this guy, but you get the idea. But this guy did something amazing. I'm very intrigued and excited to tell you about his story. Also, speaking of people who have moved way down the list in terms of those that I admire, an actual friend of the show and actual friend of my life was booked to be on the show today and was not able to do it. That happens. That's fine. But the means by which this person, this actual dear friend of mine, let us know that they could not be on the show.
Oh, rude.
It was really something. And it really has me reevaluating our friendship. So we'll get into that too. Plus music for your weekend. Speaking, though, of my friends and my true friends, my real friends, my work Cobro, and in fact the longest running Cobro of the show, is sitting right across from me. He's known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace and their majesty. He's a professional. Look it up. And he has weekend plans, which he can't get into other than to let you know that they are, in fact...
Oh, explicit.
He's Andrew Walsh. He's right over there. Andrew, how's it going?
Let's see. Is that on the show sheet? It is. Okay. How did I not prepare for this question?
When you all read the newsletter later today and watch the Hey Dummies video, you'll understand just what a hilarious spoof that was.
I think you're going to enjoy the newsletter today. It's very Spogbowl-y. It's the last dribbles of Australia that I will force upon the listeners.
I love it. It was an immediate hit with me when you described the conceit before the program started.
How's that? What's that like? Coming over. I love doing the show with you here in person. You know that. And then you walk in the door and the first thing I say is like, hey, want to know what I wrote in the newsletter today? I must be exhausting.
I love it because then I don't have to read the newsletter, but I'll have some relevant information. Right. That's not true, in fact. And that's a hurtful joke that's not even true.
No, it's not.
Because I read the newsletter with great interest each week, because it's legitimately funny and interesting and very informative.
And say what you want about me, at least I show up.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a minute. Okay. A friend of mine for many, many years, and a friend of TBTL, in fact, someone who's even a dazzling donor, was scheduled to be on the show today. We started to do this thing where on the occasional Friday, we like to bring on a friend of the show. We're kind of informally calling it Friday Friendo. And our Friday Friendo this week was going to be none other than Wynn Rosenfeld, who I first met years ago in New York City when we both worked on a short-lived public radio show called The Bryant Park Project. Wynn and I have been through it, man. Mm-hmm. We've been to Coney Island together. We did Cash Cab.
Supposedly, the tapes are quote-unquote lost.
Yeah, well, you know what? For the longest time, I assumed that Wynn's story about the tapes being stolen from his desk was true, but I have to re-examine everything I thought I knew about my friend Wynn. By the way, just as a reminder, Wynn is the guy who once left this message on the TBTL voicemail line.
I will f***ing battle any half-Jewish or full-Jewish MC in the Seattle area.
That was the old Wynn. That was my ride-or-die friend Wynn, who was going to be on the show today until last night, Andrew, when you and I received an email. Well, I guess it was sent to me, and then I forwarded it to you with apoplectically. I get an email from someone named Michelle. Hi, Luke. This is Michelle, Wynn's assistant.
Mm.
Wynn, unfortunately, is going to be stuck in a meeting tomorrow that will run later than expected. My former friend, Wynn, is now so fancy that he has an assistant who has to tell us that he can't be on the show.
She says, can we push your interview later? It wasn't even supposed to be an interview. We're just hanging out. We're buds.
Well, when you loop an assistant in, everything gets formal and Hollywood and Holly Weird.
I have a theory on this that you don't know about.
Okay.
Wynn, I'm going to say maybe a year ago, sent us another note saying, hey, I've been checking back in with the show again lately. Love you guys. Miss you guys. Nice things, right?
Yeah. Wow.
And then he left us a really long voicemail. It was something about, he left it from an airplane. There was something going on. It was some sky jinxy sort of thing. He was on the tarmac. I don't know if it had to do with the person sitting next to him or what it was. I honestly don't recall. But it was so long that it took two messages to get it all out.
Yes.
And it was a stem winder. And it did wind around quite a bit. And I listened to it and I tried to figure out if I could edit it into something that would work for us. And at the end of the day, that tape never was played on TBTL. And I am wondering if he knows that he put, you know, at least 6 minutes into some TBTL content that we never used. And is he bitter about that now? And am I to blame for all of this?
It's interesting that you never even told me that happened because you probably knew that I'd be like, we should just play it.
I don't know. I don't even think it was that much thought on.
You just summarily dismissed it.
I just get a listen. We get a lot of voicemails. I have
how many of them come from the head of production of Jordan Peele's production company, a person who I regularly see being retweeted by the likes of Spike Lee.
First of all, I would never let somebody's status in society dictate whether or not a voicemail.
So we've been letting Chris Hayes' voicemails on just purely on their merit.
Why is he famous?
I just think they're pretty weak as voicemail go.
Does he work for Monkey Paw? What am I missing here? But anyway, no, it was a fine voicemail. It was just a really long story. And honestly, I was just going through a bunch of voicemails. I was like, that one probably doesn't work. And I just kind of kept moving on.
So do you think he agreed to be on
the
show knowing that he was going to have his assistant cancel for him?
Like he accepted in the first place?
Well, right, because he accepted the opportunity to be on the show. He and I had been texting. He seemed very excited.
See, that's what's interesting to me is like you invited him via text as a friend and you didn't even sometimes with Chris, like let's say we're going to have Chris on the show. He'll be like, okay, that sounds great. I'm going to loop in my assistant right away at the beginning or scheduler maybe, not assistant. And that kind of makes sense. And so right away we're all kind of communicating together. In this case, the whole thing was very organic. It was all text message based until it was time to let us down. And Wynn's not sending you just a text message saying, hey, buddy, loved our time in New York together. Cash cab dream really happened. And also, I'm really sorry I can't get out of this meeting because I'm working with one of the greatest auteurs in Hollywood today.
Loved our time together, but this is my way of letting you know that I am officially now too fancy to be on your silly little show anymore. So, Wynn or Wynn's assistant, if you're listening, I assume also Wynn makes his assistant listen to TBTL and brief him on what happens.
I hope so.
If you're listening, this really hurt. This really hurt.
This is the one that broke you, huh, Luke?
And I honestly, what I think is probably the only way that we can repair the relationship would be if you'd consider upping your monthly donation to TBTL.
I don't even.
Now that you got that, now that you got that Hollywood money.
And, you know, the biggest disappointment is I was all ready to play this tape.
Anytime you do something that's fun, you like to do it and make money doing it, hey, it's a win-win-win. And anytime you can win-win-win, you're win-win-winning, you know? If you're just winning or win-winning, that's just winning or win-winning. But when you're win-win-winning, you're win-win-winning.
We could have been win-win-winning.
That win, we were ready to play that audio for you. We had it all queued up.
Now we can't play it. Now we'll never play
it. This is the podcast equivalent of we're sitting on a curb with our baseball mitt and a baseball, and we are ready for Wynn to pick us up and take us to the game, and we're going to be sitting on this curb for a long time.
Could I try to cheer you up by forcing a Flag Day quiz onto you?
The classic remedy for sadness.
It's
vexillology.
It is Flag Day. Happy Flag Day.
And a happy flag, a blessed Flag Day to you.
You're going to think I'm just saying this to joke, but I'm not. I actually had this thought today. Oh, I like it when Flag Day falls on a Friday. And it really did kind of make me happy.
Okay. I'm excited. You're going to give me a Flag Day quiz here. Should we go to the break and then do it, or do you think it's going to be short enough that we'll...
Let's make this a challenge.
Okay, good.
Let's try to do this in like 3 to 5 minutes and just zip through this. This is from, I don't know if they're borrowing it from somewhere else, but this is from the Dallas Morning News newspaper, online edition, of course. 10 questions.
I'm trying to find a flag song that we could play.
Oh,
as some
She's a Grand Old Flag?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, when I put flag into my computer here, I get a bunch of Cocteau Twins songs, which probably isn't going to work. A Cat Power song, which seems like it might be a little down.
Yeah. And I also, there's one that I like, but I'm going to be using it for my music. I have a flag related.
Well, you're really
for your
going for it with
yeah,
this
so
flag
I'm worried
stuff.
That you're going to like kind of blow up my spot there. Is this too?
Oh, it's nice. That's very nice.
This is the James Cagney version from Yankee Doodle Dandy.
I love this. I'm going to preface this whole exercise by saying I am so bad with flags because there's something about my brain does not interpret information well that way. There are a lot of people that are visual learners and they remember imagery. And I mean, I don't know if that is technically symbology or not, but
I think so.
I'm especially bad with that. And I think it's related to how I'm really bad with geography and directions.
Yeah, there's that's a blind spot.
I think that part of my brain that's supposed to do all of that stuff is just not high functioning. So anyway, with that being said,
I'm switching over to this version. That way it says, I'm not going to be distracted by somebody singing through a megaphone.
Jimmy Cagney.
Yeah.
You dirty rat.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Question number one, Luke, let's start with the basics. What is Flag Day?
Webster's defines Flag Day
Want me to give you some options? It's the day Congress officially recognized its first flag of the United States. It's the day Betsy Ross sewed the first American flag. It's the day the Star Spangled Banner was written. Or it's the day George Washington asked Betsy Ross to sew the American flag.
I'm sorry, but can I have those one more time?
You can. Congress recognizes the flag for the first time. Betsy Ross sews it. The day the Star Spangled Banner was written, or the day George Washington asked Betsy Ross?
I am going to say it's the day Congress recognized it as our official flag.
That is absolutely right. I don't even have to click on this one to know. Well, I think I clicked on it earlier. That's why. question number two. What year was the American flag officially recognized by Congress? 1776, 77, 80, or
1992.
It is 1992. That is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were riding high.
Well, so obviously 1776 seems like the obvious answer because that's when America achieved independence. But I'm going to guess that it took a minute. And by that I mean 1 year, and I'm going to guess 1977.
You are absolutely right. Wow. Question number three.
Well, look out, James Holzhauer.
Watch out, Sam Sanders. It took a minute.
Yes,
which is,
I know. You heard me pause. I was going to say in the words of Sam Sanders, but then I was like, actually, I'm doing a slight play on that word.
All right. What do the Texas flags red, white, and blue colors represent. That I didn't know we were getting into Texas flag territory. Mm-hmm. I thought this was all about the U.S. flag.
Well, there is a store in Silverdale, Washington, where my parents live. It's a consignment store, and it's in a very forgettable strip mall, Andrew, and it's called Texas Glad Rags.
What?
And I see it when I'm gassing up.
Don't look that up on Urban Dictionary.
And I'm like, ew. How? And it's been there for, like, as long as my parents have lived over there. And I always go, when is it going to be the day that I show up and Texas Glad Rags of Silverdale, Washington has gone out of business? And today, what do we say to the... to the closing of Texas Glad Rags in Silverdale, Washington?
Not today.
We say yeehaw.
Should we call them? Do you want to, like, phone a friend? Is that how, like... So here's your question. What do the Texas flags, red, white, and blue colors represent? Bravery, pride, and loyalty. Bravery, purity, and loyalty. Justice, purity, and loyalty. Or bravery, friendship, and pride.
Hold on, I'm doing a deep dive on Texas Glad Rags over here. Let's see. Now, I would say we could just call them, but I think you don't like it when I call someone on the air without kind of pre-clearing it, which is fair.
Well, no, that's fine. I just don't want it to turn into a prank call situation. Where
right.
We're like, and like, do you have 12-pound flags?
Is your flag running?
Do you have Prince Flag in a can? Got there. Got there before you.
You did. You saw the...
Those are the three jokes that wheels, you and I can make.
The wheels were turning, and your wheels turned faster than mine, Andrew, and I salute you for that. Okay, back to the Texas flag question.
It's just like, I don't even know the answer to this one, and also it's like, you have to keep so much in your head to remember these answers. Bravery, pride, and loyalty.
Okay.
Bravery, purity, and loyalty. Justice, purity, and loyalty. Or bravery, friendship, and pride.
Is walkering, Texasing, and rangering... Is building and fording and toughing
yes.
an option?
Yes.
And what else would be in there? I mean, those are... That's
just walkering.
That's a truly impossible question to answer because all of those things are so interchangeable and so jingoistic.
I'm going to say, though, this is really rude to some of our Texas listeners probably. I'm going to take away the one that says friendship. I'm going to take away the one that says justice. I'm going to say bravery. Now I'm just playing for you, I guess, because I don't know the answer either.
Oh, I like
what
this.
About bravery, purity, and loyalty?
I wonder,
well, pride is probably big.
Pride's got to be big. Texas, you know, things are bigger in Texas.
Bravery. Things are prider in Texas. bravery, and pride, and loyalty. Bravery, pride, and loyalty.
Bravery. Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that bravery will be in there because of maybe the like war where Texas became part of the United States
sure.
and sort of defeated Mexico in that particular region.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that there's a lot of pride in sort of the Texas way. And then they would consider themselves to be loyal to whom, I'm not exactly sure. Also, the Alamo is a big thing.
Yep.
Like, they were probably very proud of how brave they were at the Alamo.
Have you ever been in the basement of the Alamo?
Paging Mr. Herman.
Mr. P.W. Herman. Okay, so you want to go with bravery,
that's
pride,
my guess,
and loyalty?
But yeah, I don't want to. I'm not trying to overrule you.
Let's give this a shot. The answer is no. Oh, it switched too quickly, but it was the one that I had said. Go back. Why? Oh, come on, Dallas Morning News. It quickly showed that it was the second choice, and it moved on. And I can't go back, but the second choice was the one that I think that I had predicted.
Texas so. Rags and Gladness.
That's right. Texas Walkers and Gladness. Number four. I'm really bummed that went, but
we know that we got it wrong.
Yeah, but what's important is that we learn from these quizzes. The six flags over Texas. Of course, I'm Dallas Morning News. You know what? We're going to do questions four and questions five. If the fifth question is also about the Texas flag, we're done.
Okay.
I thought this was about America.
I'm enjoying it, honestly.
It's kind of ruining my flag day. I'm not going to lie to you. I should have vetted this better.
This is one of the worst flag days we've had in years.
You ruined flag day again. The six flags over Texas represent the six nations that once ruled Texas. What are the six nations that once ruled Texas?
Holy moly.
Spain, Mexico. You have to write this down. Spain, Mexico, Germany, the Confederacy, the United States, and the Republic of Texas. Just say yes and we can move on. No, that's just the first one.
There's no way that's right because Germany.
Right. Okay.
Come on.
The next one has the United Kingdom, Mexico, Germany again? The Confederacy? Nope. Okay, so let's move that. The UK again, okay. Mexico, France, the Confederacy, the US, and the Republic of Texas.
Okay.
That's probably the front runner now.
Yes.
Wait a second. It's got to be, well, how about Spain?
Okay, that's
Mexico,
yes.
France, the Confederacy, the U.S., and the Republic of Texas. I'm leaning towards that one.
I am, too. The final
one.
Oh,
look. You just got
brought
that.
My own sound effects.
Okay, now, if we're wrong about this, it's going to flash.
Keep an eagle eye on this, because
yeah,
it's going to go by quickly.
It moves fast. We got it right!
Yahoo!
All right.
Is that saving your flag day?
No, I still wish this was about our stars and stripes. Okay, good. We're back onto American flag stuff.
Nice.
Who designed the current American flag? I have a feeling this is going to be tricky because it's current. Betsy Ross, of course, didn't have 50 states to be dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Betsy Ross, also, I don't know that she designed it. She just sewed it. Betsy Ross, Robert G. Heft, George Washington.
Owner of Half Price Books.
Or Robert Morris. Why is Heft actually?
No, there was a guy named Robert M. Heft who was the owner of Half Price Books, and he would do his own ads, and he was this kind of small guy in a suit.
His name was Heft, and he owned Half Price Books.
I'm Robert B. Heft.
That's a great little...
Let me look this up. And then we're going to do a Robert B. Haft quiz later.
Okay, good.
What were the names again? You can skip past Betsy Ross.
Betsy Ross. Right. Robert G. Heft, George Washington, or Robert Morris?
I'm going to go Robert Morris. Wait.
Robert Morris or Robert G. Heft?
I'm going to go Robert Morris.
It was Heft.
Ah.
It went by quickly, but it was Heft. But see, this is where, if I can offer some feedback to this quiz, this is where it'd be fun to now give me some information. Who was Heft?
Mm-hmm.
How did he design? At what time period did he design the flag?
Mm-hmm.
I could have picked a better quiz. I'm sorry.
You know what?
I apologize.
You go into podcasting with the quiz that you can find
in
during the intro, not the quiz you want to have. By the way, Robert M. Haft is an entrepreneur primarily in healthcare and became a household name in Washington, D.C. and other places for his Crown Books television commercial tagline, "Books cost too much."
That's very straightforward.
He must have he must have gone on to also do Half Price Books, even though they only mention Crown Books in here. But I know that I used to see these ads, these TV ads that he would do when I was a kid. And for some reason, it made some impression on me.
Well, where are you on this quiz right now? We're halfway through it. Do we keep going or we're halfway through it? Or do we just say this was a five questioner?
Let's do one more.
Okay, here we go. Out of the six flags astronauts placed on the moon during the Apollo missions,
they put six flags up there?
I guess so.
What, are they opening a theme park?
No, six flags over Uranus.
Yeah.
Six flags. How many are still believed to still be standing? How many are believed to still be standing?
This is like a fascinating idea or topic of they put some flags in and they think some fell over?
Yeah, what would happen?
From
There's no
moon wind?
Right?
Well, first of all, we know that this whole thing was faked.
I know. I was going to mention that as well. The listeners couldn't see it, but I put air quotes around Apollo mission and moon landing.
Six flags. What were those flags? How many of them were related to Texas Glad Rags?
Yes. How many of them were the Texas flag? Six, five, four, or one. How many are believed to still be standing?
I think it's a trick question. It's got to be six.
Think so?
Unless, who's been up there lately?
Which one do you think the MTV man is holding? The first one?
Oh, Kurt Loder when he planted the flag on the moon?
All right, I'm going to hit six, and then I'm going to have to watch this really closely. No, it's five.
What happened to the one flag?
I don't know. This quiz sucks.
No,
it needs to... But we need to look this up for... can you do a quick Google on that? Or
I can, but I'm also...
Can I go to a break?
I'm very immersed in getting this... Crown Books, Too Much ad dialed up, which I found. In the midst of 20 minutes of old TV commercials, I scrubbed through it, Andrew, and found this. Can I play it for you?
Yeah, please, please.
Okay. Books cost too much, so I opened Crown Books. Now you'll never have to pay full price again. We have over 10,000 books to choose from, including The Gentle Humor of a Prairie Home Companion in Rick Gone Days, only $10.77 at Crown. And join the hunt for Red October, Tom Clancy's paperback bestseller, for only $2.99. Crown's one place you can't judge a book by its cover, price. So remember, If you paid full price, you didn't buy it at Crown Books.
Huh. You know what's funny? I said I thought he was associated with Half Price Books. It's because his last name yes. sounded like it, and because he was obsessed with talking about how cheap the books were. So my memory had blended him together with the place where I used to sell my ill-gotten uh-huh. review copies of books from public radio jobs.
That would be pretty cool, though, if it was called like Half Price Books.
Yeah.
I'd be into that. I'm finding articles that like kind of address the issue of how many flags are still on the moon, but like they're all written by NASA, so it's in a tiny little font, and they're not like, you know, they're really burying the lead. But I do see something here that says all the American.
I've got
flags.
One. Can
you
I?
Got one?
Can
yeah,
I give this
got?
A shot here?
Yep.
There are 6 U.S. flags on the moon planted by the Apollo astronauts. So that's an interesting thing right there. In other words, I believe they're all U.S. flags. We just keep mm-hmm. planting them every time we've gone up there, maybe? I don't know. Planted by the Apollo astronaut. Yeah, they're U.S. flags. So okay. I thought one would be like a U.S. flag, and then uh-huh. one would be like the, you know, some other, like the NASA flag, and mm-hmm. then the whatever. They're right. all American flags. I guess every time we go up there, we're like...
Hey,
one more.
Throw another
flag on the Barbie.
Moony. Yeah,
another flag on the Moonie. So here's they don't believe any of the unmanned U.S. probes have planted flags. The problem of flying a flag in the vacuum of space are fairly obvious. They're actually not to me. Like that's what I'm trying to yeah. find out here from this. I'm now in some kind of GeoCities webpage nightmare.
Oh my God.
Okay, the problem of flying a flag in the vacuum of space are fairly obvious. Most people know that the flags planted on the moon were made of cloth or nylon. They were rigged with a wire along the top, so they looked like they were waving. It's rumored that the Apollo 11 flag was actually knocked down by the dust kicked
okay.
up after the exhaust of the lunar module, which is currently lying in the lunar dirt.
There we got it.
Oh.
Thank you.
We can all sleep tonight.
You know how I would like to celebrate? With one more Flag Day question. I skipped another one about Texas's Pledge of Allegiance because I just don't care. We're on to question number 8 now. Whose poem was set to music and became the Star Spangled Banner? Was it John Stafford Smith?
Francis Scott Key.
Francis, you're just going to skip right to it.
Come on, man.
You're going to skip over Francis Hopkinson and Ralph Waldo Emerson. Go right to Francis Scott Key. You are right.
Isn't the story that... there was a big battle, and he was writing about "Oh Say Can You See" by the right. dawn's early light. That our flag was still flying, which mm-hmm. meant that we had not lost the Battle of Winterfell.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
The dragon's still flying. Wait, what am I even singing? All right, according to the U.S. flag code, what is the proper way for citizens, except for those in uniform, to view the flag when it's on display? So just regular citizens, not in uniform, we're going to view the flag. It's on display. What's the right way to do it? Face the flag. Salute with your right hand. Face the flag and place your right hand over your heart. Face the flag and place your left hand over your heart, or respectfully stand with hands down by your sides.
What does it say about me that I hate all of those options?
Yeah.
I love this country, but I don't like compulsory patriotism.
Exactly. How about also glance at it quickly and then move on?
Yeah. But you're like, why are you flying that next to a Trump flag on the back of your truck?
Right.
You live in Linden, Washington. What is your problem?
Why is that still on your antenna? It's pretty tattered.
My guess is... that it's probably stand with your hand over your heart.
Left hand or right hand?
Well, I guess it would be right hand over your heart.
Yes.
Sometimes
I
forget
right.
which side
yeah.
my heart is on
because
yeah. I'll be having pain and I'll be like, is this?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Should I worry
and you're like,
about?
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It's just the other gunk over here.
Yeah, really. I literally had
too.
That thought on a jog yesterday in Portland. It wasn't anything troubling, but it was just a little mild pain, but it was on the side of my chest, which is not where my heart is. And But I had to do the thing where I literally go back to second grade in my mind because we used to have this very, talk about compulsory patriotism. We used to have a whole thing every morning in second grade where we would do the Pledge of Allegiance and all that, and you put your hand over your heart. And that's
mm-hmm.
still how I remember it.
Mm-hmm. So right hand over your heart, which is on the left side of your body. I'm going to hit go on that, and you are absolutely right. You were also right when you said we should have taken a break before starting this quiz. Number 10, the final question. Which U.S. president issued a proclamation to officially establish June 14th as Flag Day? This is a good closer. Mm-hmm. I am glad that we ended up here. Harry S. Truman did it. Franklin D. Roosevelt did it. Woodrow Wilson or Dwight Eisenhower?
I'm going to go Dwight Eisenhower because he was a veteran.
I would completely support you on that.
It seems very, like, kind of militaristic.
And 50s-ish. Let's give this a shot. We're wrong. It's Woodrow Wilson.
Oh, well, I still think we did pretty good.
Thank you.
And we found out about the Six Flags on the moon.
Yeah.
You must be this tall to get on the roller coaster at the Six Flags on the moon.
Then it's moot because everybody just floats over it.
Yeah.
All right.
That was good. I'm glad we did that, Andrew.
Yeah, me too. I'm a little bummed about the Texas stuff. I mean, no offense to Texas. It's just like, I'm not celebrating Texas today. I'm celebrating our U.S. flag.
If we wouldn't have done that, we would have never gotten to talk extensively about Texas glad rags.
No, that is true. It did open some conversational doors for us.
At least just for me, it did. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more TBTL.
You make a better conversational door than a conversational window.
Ever seen a blind man cross the road trying to make the other side?
Do you recognize this song?
I don't think so.
Wait till it kicks in.
Old, trying to make herself a blind. So what becomes of you, my love?
This is the theme song to the British Office.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Which is weirdly downbeat when you think about it.
That piano, no lyrics, right? They don't use the lyrics.
No, they say the handbags and the glad rags.
I didn't remember that part, but now that you say that, it's all clicking together. You know what I was thinking about? I love how recordings were imperfect back in the day, but released anyway. I love his vocals on this. I'm not a huge fan of his voice. I've talked about that before.
Rod Stewart's voice, I assume when he came out of the womb, his voice was blown out.
Yeah, exactly. But also his mic is a little blown out in this. Something's over... Yeah, that's really cool. Honestly, this early Rod Stewart stuff is good. I think I was, like, ruined forever when I heard, like, Broken Arrow and whatever the three...
Some guys have all the luck.
Yeah, right.
Woo,
yeah.
Woo, woo.
Oh, I forgot about that song. I don't like that one.
Rod Stewart and John, at that time, Mellencamp, or excuse me, John Cougar, because it was before he had retaken Mellencamp. Do you know the story on that?
Well, I know that he was John Cougar Mellencamp, then he dropped the Cougar for a while. He was more mature. He was John Mellencamp
for
a while. Well,
originally they made him be John Cougar.
Oh, I didn't know
like
that.
Like when he first was starting out, they were like, no, John Mellencamp's a weird name. You're Johnny Cougar.
Oh.
And then he got a little bit of juice, and then he was like, screw that. I'm adding Mellencamp back to my name. But my sense of John Cougar Mellencamp and also Rod Stewart was defined by my friend Gabe's mom when I was a kid. I had one friend who had MTV. This is when I was so young. I would have been like 6 or 7 years old living by Northgate. And I remember like his mom was like the kind of mom that would sometimes swear. And I think she smoked cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And which wasn't like that crazy in 1982, mm-hmm. but it was way out of the norm for like my religious family. And I remember her saying, I remember that video for Some Guys Have All the Luck by Rod Stewart being on and her saying something about him being sexy. And I also remember her saying something about John Cougar being sexy.
Oh, really?
And I was like, scandalized.
Yeah, yeah. Hearing adults talk about sexiness when you're a little kid.
But to this day, I'm like, well, those are some sexy guys.
Yeah.
Well, it imprinted on me hard.
I heard somebody at a very young age, I think I heard an adult, honestly, it might have been my mom or somebody refer to him as Rod the Bod. And that always stuck with me, no joke. I mean, have you heard of that? Is that a very common thing, Rod the Bod?
I think your mom might have invented that.
Maybe. I hope not, though.
Yeah. Let's not think about your mom inventing sexy terms for Rod Stewart. Instead, let's do top stories.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
All right, we tried to get to this yesterday and ran out of time, but I want to tell you the story of Joe Crane. He is a now former meteorologist for WICS in Springfield, Illinois. On June 5th, he went on air. And you know what? Interestingly enough, Andrew, I'm having a little trouble finding the original footage.
Mm.
It's one of those things that went viral, apparently, but I don't know. I bet you the station pulled it down, and maybe nobody took the time to cache it or mirror it somewhere. Mm-hmm. But he basically went on the local station there in Springfield and apologized to the viewers for the fact that the station kept running this big graphic over the local programming that said Code Red every time there was the possibility of a storm. And his point was, it first of all, not all, he literally says, not all storms are created equal. And so when you just run this Code Red thing all the time over nothing, sometimes people kind of get a little bit blasé. He also said, when he, this is great, this I wish we had this tape in the clear, but he said, no, just imagine, longtime local meteorologist in Springfield, Illinois, he said, and when you see that Code Red, you think the feces is about to hit the fan. He literally said the feces is about to hit the fan.
You know, I could, I didn't have the tape in the article I read either, and I just assumed that you had had it somewhere. I could have, you already did all the digging around on this, huh?
I wouldn't say all the digging around, but anyway, the radio or the TV station that he works for is, see, the problem, Andrew, is every file that I find on it is, and this is a, like a weird media side note that I feel like we refer to a lot on the show that's completely lost on the listeners. There is this form of media now where you take something that happened, Joe Crane from the local station apologizing to the viewers, and then you take that video and you post it, but it's not the original video. It's some graphics or somebody from the newspaper just narrating what happened.
Sometimes
over
it's a robot narrating.
Yes, which is really
Joe
eerie.
Crane, local meteorologist, said that he's had enough.
Because they've figured out that, you know, they'll still get the clicks because people like, so every video I'm looking at of this thing that happened is usually some other media outlets repurposing of the original video.
That's what I'm getting too.
So what's pretty amazing though is, well, okay, he was fired. Because what he, the other thing he said to the viewers was, I just want to tell you that this is not us at this TV station. This is a corporate thing. And would you be surprised to learn that the corporation that owns the TV station is Sinclair Broadcasting? And while I sneeze, will you explain who Sinclair Broadcasting is?
Yeah, they're a really responsible media organization that believes in a lot of local control. Wait, no, that's not at all. Sinclair Broadcasting, if I can
They're so bad, they made my sneeze go away.
my joke was so bad, your sneeze went away. By the way, I got some tissues around here. If you
Oh, please. I'm just doing this because the listeners love it when I sniff into the microphone. A listener sent me an angry email. Well, I took it to be angry, saying, and it was like reference to episode, whatever yesterday's was, 2922. And he was like, stop sniffing on the air. It's so gross. And my thought was, you know that the show has been taped 12 hours ago.
Maybe those were notes for future shows.
Well, okay. I'm going to take it
that
way.
Here are some notes.
I'm going to try. I'll try not to sniff so much.
Listen,
apologize.
I'm going to be a little bit extra here, which is the one slang term I still get to say because I just think it just is so useful. But I honestly think that Sinclair is one of the scariest media situations in the country right now. I think it is more troublesome than Fox News, frankly, because Sinclair owns the majority of local stations. I'm assuming the majority. They own so many local stations that aren't necessarily on their face. You know, you turn on Fox News, even Fox News lovers kind of know that there's a political bent there to a degree, getting on our media. But Sinclair owns the local stations where you just have people tuning in for the weather and local sports highlights and people recreating burglaries, which is, I think, what a lot of local news is now. And they also force these stations to do things. Like, they force these red alerts on things. They force the Swift boating, quote-unquote, documentary that kind of helped fell John Kerry was something that, like, this conglomerate forced its local stations to air pro-Trump stuff. Like, when I think,
And can I just throw one thing in? What's really insidious about it is that it's all packaged as news content and interview content. If you want to watch Fox News, have fun. Hopefully, you have a sense that it is coming from a certain perspective. But what Sinclair does is they create these news stories and this one particular news interview show that airs, I think, on like Sunday night on Como here in Seattle. And they send those out, and those are must runs on these TV stations. But you don't, because the rest of the station doesn't really have a particular political angle other than wanting to scare mothers and get them to watch the news. And so that's why I think it's extra dangerous, because people don't have any sense that they're getting something from a very specific political point of view.
I just like this part.
Luke is playing air lute right now.
I'm playing air sitar.
So anyway, well, honestly, though, all I was going to say is, because I'm getting a little bit heated here and I'm not being super articulate, but when I think of like the sci-fi books of the 1960s, your Bradburys and whatnot, like what Sinclair is doing in this country is the closest I've ever seen to that. I think it's truly, truly frightening. And also, I'd like to point out that Sinclair is not always at the network level pushing it onto these local stations either. Like it's bred the type of atmosphere that led to things like Seattle is Dying. You know, the local quote unquote documentary that was filled with falsehoods and portrayed homeless people and the situation in Seattle completely unfairly and incorrectly. So anyway, it's like really bad propaganda. Now, all of that comes back to this weather thing, as in how do local stations make money, right? By kind of souping up weather situations, and they know that, and that's what they're trying to do here.
Yeah, I will say this. The whole Code Red weather thing has nothing to do with politics. It's just I think what bothers you and I also about the idea of Sinclair is you and I have worked for a fair number of media organizations. The idea that the home office in Virginia is going to press its thumb so hard on the station in Springfield, Illinois, so as to tell them when they have to activate the Code Red, even though everybody at the station, at least in the meteorology department, is like, we want to stop doing this. This is embarrassing for us. Like, that just gives me a bad feeling. Just as a person who hates following the rules,
that gives me a bad feeling. Yeah, yeah.
But the Code Red thing is really just about TV stations knowing that if they flash a scary graphic and you're walking through a room and a TV's on, you're going to stop and look at it because you're just going to be like, oh my God, something happened. What's quite interesting is that this guy, Joe Crane, after being fired...
He was definitely fired. The article I read, he was suspended.
Yeah, no, he's totally fired. He was fired like the day after. And in fact, one of the articles I read said they had confirmed that he was fired because the TV station had listed meteorologist as an open position on their website.
Oh my God.
But what's amazing is the town is rallying so hard behind Joe Crane.
Nice.
You have advertisers, local advertisers, that are pulling their ads from the TV station. I'm looking at a coffee shop in Springfield that it has a painting of Joe Crane, and it says Code Red ? The only thing brewing is our coffee. Hashtag support Joe Crane. And he's like holding a cup of coffee in this painting. Dick Durbin, the senator
from Illinois,
has weighed in on defending Joe Crane. There was this one, I think it was like a furniture store, maybe it was auto repair, that was having a Code Red sale.
Because people were like really mad about this before he stood up, right? They were getting flooded with emails and letters from listeners.
I think people just, you know, people, I think most people sort of like recognize that it was kind of out of control. But I think what happened was this TV station did not realize how beloved Joe Crane was in the community, which actually goes to something else that I've observed in my life, which was I dated a gal who many, many moons ago who lived in Spokane, Washington. And maybe some of it was just her and her mom and kind of like what they were into. But I remember going to Spokane with her and visiting her mom. And literally the first hour of their conversation was just breaking down what every local news anchor was doing in Spokane and where they were going. And, oh, they moved over to the other station or what have you. And I realized that in a lot of towns of a certain size, the local news folks are still legit celebrities. Mm-hmm. Like, they're a big deal. And the bigger the city you go to, the smaller fish those folks become. Mm-hmm. Nobody really cares about Johnny Mountain or Dallas Raines in L.A.
I think they do. Actually, I do. I was kind of joking, but actually, I think in LA, it somehow it comes back around.
Maybe
a little bit.
Well, maybe because everybody is so everybody's so starstruck there and excited by somebody who has some amount of celebrity that your stock goes up. But let me just say, like a news anchor in New York City walking down the street, people might recognize them and they might say, like, I guess I just feel like there is something about a small town and its relationship with its local TV anchors that is different than I experience, say, in Seattle.
Yeah.
And maybe you're right. Maybe Seattle is some weird in between the two where it just, for me, it was like, yeah, you know who the local news folks are, but you also would like see them on the street. You wouldn't necessarily freak out. Mm-hmm. But I get the sense that in Springfield, Illinois, Joe Kane is bigger than Sinclair Broadcasting.
Yeah.
And the town is really rallying behind him.
And I do feel like they also think that he has their back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause right.
One thing I like is he said, please keep sending the letters and the cards. So this is also a community that is, it sounds like reaching out quite a bit, not electronically, but sending letters and cards to the station. So that also kind of speaks to who he's talking to in the small town.
And let's be honest, if you're sending in a message to a TV meteorologist, your average age is probably north of 70.
Mm-hmm. If you're writing it in a card, certainly.
You're probably handwriting that thing and sending it in. And that's another part of this, too. I mean, honestly, not to get overly serious with it, but If a lot of the people watching the local news are older and maybe, could be frightened by that, not to assume that anybody who's old is a big scaredy, but it's like if your 90-year-old grandmother is watching the news all day long and it's constantly telling her that, like, you're like a code red weather situation is about to sweep through the town, that's like a lot of stress for somebody who probably doesn't need that stress in their life, you know?
I wonder if Mountain Dew underwrote this. Was this a promotional thing? Was it Mountain Dew Code Red weather alert system?
You know what? Now that I think of it, yeah, there was a Mountain Dew element. So I have a guess that Joe Crane is going to get hired by whatever the competing state, if they're smart.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, this is oddly enough, this is bad news for whoever the other meteorologist is.
Right.
Because like they're not doing anything. They're just living their life over at the competing station.
Right.
And now that station's probably like, oh, man. Joe Crane's on the market.
Right. Oh, great. Guess I got to go over to Sinclair now.
Yeah.
We have friends who work for Sinclair. I feel a little bad.
Well, it's not a reflection on them.
No. I mean, people, listen, if you work in media and that's what your background is and that's what you're trained for, and I mean, and then eventually the, you know, kind of climate changes in the market around you, like, it's hard just to get another media job somewhere. Like, you can't just quit. And so we've talked about this before with other, I believe, Sinclair-related things where stations were being forced to air things. And some journalists were like, I'm not going to take anymore. I'm going to quit. But your heart goes out to especially younger people who are finally just crawling their way into, like, local news. And, you know, I like journalism. I think that we should make it an attractive career for young people to get into and take it seriously. And if you've kind of finally climbed that ladder and you finally got your first full-time job and it's at Sinclair, what are you going to do? You know?
I think about the other end of that spectrum too, which is like you're in your 50s.
Yep.
You've got a family. You have this job. You probably don't feel great about the corporate overlords. I mean, politics aside, again, I just think it's a bad feeling to have some giant corporation buy your company and then start telling you what to do. That just feels that's a very bad feeling to have. But I can see people who need to ride it out or just like they're like, I'm not at an age where I really want to change careers or jobs. And also those jobs are mostly going away. So, yeah, when I talk about how bad Sinclair is, that's no reflection on anybody who works at any entity that's owned by Sinclair. In fact, I see them kind of as really being harmed by this as much as anyone. And also, side note, I used to voluntarily work in conservative talk radio.
Yeah, right.
Like nobody was making me do that. I was doing it, Andrew, for that sweet, sweet $31,000 a year.
Right. Speaking of questionable media organizations, I'll be on the air at Cairo tonight. But it'll be me and Aaron Mason, so don't worry. We'll keep it real.
Oh, wait a second. Dang it.
TVTL breaking news.
I'm seeing here that APM has just been acquired by Sinclair Media.
That would be...
So we're going to need to
that
edit...
That would be something.
...most of what we just said.
You got me excited. I thought for real there that maybe you got an update from Wynn. I thought we might be win-win-winning.
We're never going to win again on this show.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says, sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week, I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man, it's not from a female.
Before we get to music for your weekend, are there any emails that are of particular interest?
Yes, I have two that I'd like to play. I'd like to play one and read one. Here's okay. A voicemail. Looks like we might have a new 10.
Like somebody was just born or someone finally convinced their partner to stop hating the show?
Neither. I'll let them do the talking.
Hello, Luke and Andrew. This is listener Andrea in Billings, Montana. And I just want to let you know that my son Herschel, who is 10 years old, has just declared himself now a 10. He's no longer a 5. He's a 10. So there you go.
And you got a 10-year-old.
You got a new listener and a new 10. All right, bye.
I couldn't hear what Herschel said in the background. It's only he said something about 8-year-old. I couldn't tell what he said. But, Andrea says that Herschel is 10 years old and now old enough to be a 10, not a 5.
Herschel, welcome to the club.
Yes.
I saw a crazy story out of Billings. The guy who built the biggest house in the history of, I want to say Montana, but definitely Billings. It's this nightmare McMansion. It has 3 swimming pools, an elevator. It's just, it's the Sinclair Broadcasting of homes. He faked his own kidnapping so that he could, first of all, he was like scamming a bunch of people and, you know, going to, like the financial feces was going to hit the fan. But yeah, he wanted to disappear with his mistress. And so he said, he told the FBI, or he made it look to the FBI like he had been abducted by a biker gang.
That's the easiest, that's going to call the least attention to his made up story.
Yeah. Abducted by biker gang. And then later, when the FBI was like, this doesn't seem like this happened, his mistress came forward and said, yeah, this was just because we wanted to run away together.
Well, what was the congressman in Virginia? Where did he say they were hiking?
Mark Sanford hiking the Appalachian Trail.
Hiking the Appalachian Trail, which still sounds super dirty to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that through, I love that blog, McMansion Hell.
Yeah. Oh, I think I just stumbled on that today for the about that town in Wisconsin.
Well, she's been, I believe her name is Katie Wagner. She's been maintaining that blog for years. She's incredible. She's a really, really great reporter. And in fact, she did another story that really caught my attention, I think for Marketplace. Well, Marketplace interviewed her. She started recording the sound levels in restaurants because she was noticing how restaurants are so loud now. And she did this amazing breakdown of just the actual decibels and what's going on with the kind of progress or what the progression of loudness in restaurants is. So that's when I first
heard
her.
That's really interesting.
And then I looked her up, and then she was also the proprietor of McMansion Hell, which is this hilarious blog. So she's also kind of an architecture, I guess you could say, expert. She knows a lot about architecture. She's like a fascinating person.
I see. So the latest one is, the latest post is about Waukesha County, Wisconsin McMansions. It's okay. So funny that I don't think I knew about this unless you had told me about it before, but I think Boing Boing might have tweeted it out this morning. And I also saw somebody describe what I was doing on Twitter while I was reading Twitter, which was, it was like a fake conversation where somebody says, hey, sorry I'm late. I stayed in bed squinting angrily at my phone for an extra 2 hours. And that was, I was like, oh no, I'm literally doing that right now. And part of that was squinting angrily at McMansion Hell.
It's amazing. Really funny. Her breakdown of these various McMansions, where she just will kind of like, she'll circle things and point at stuff and she'll just describe and by the way, for people that feel like she's like architecture shaming someone, she makes a pretty compelling argument that it's not just like, she's not just like someone has taste that's not the same as hers. Mm-hmm. It's more like there's some real actual, this show is like getting oddly serious at various points, but it's like the way we live our lives together as like families and neighbors and people, it's like the McMansions throw that deeply out of whack. Mm-hmm. And they don't make societies better because they turn us inward. They separate people within their own homes. They're environmentally, look, I'm not going to try to get on any even medium horse about being environmentally sensitive. I have a carbon footprint the size of Arvydas Sabonis. But
is that a basketball reference?
That's a little 1990s Portland Trailblazers basketball reference for you. I think you can make an argument that the McMansions that she's talking about in her blog are pretty bad, not just on an aesthetic level, but are kind of bad for us as a society.
I would go along with that. Can I read you one more email before we do Music for Your Weekend?
Yes, sir.
I love this so much, and I need the listeners' help with this one. So we got a note from Ryan, who is vice president at his high school. Now, I don't have the name of the high school here, but he says, with the position of vice president, one of my jobs is to do the morning announcements over the intercom. I have just recently started doing them, and I've started incorporating little TBTL Easter eggs into every morning's announcement. Even though I doubt that anyone understands why I started the announcements with Catch My Disease by Ben Lee, or why I ended up reminding them that there's no mountain too tall, and by wishing them all good luck, it is a fun way for me to start my day. I plan to start incorporating some sound drops as well, just to make the announcements even more fun. Thank you guys for doing what you do. I look forward to listening to you guys every day on the Imaginary Radio. So Ryan and I have been going back and forth a little bit. I've only sent him one drop so far. I sent him this one.
Well, here we are. I want to congratulate you for being on time.
That, of course, is from The Breakfast Club, which I thought of immediately because, you know, high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if we could kind of hive mind this a little bit. Mm-hmm. If anybody wanted to send in suggestions of drops you hear on the show a lot that you think we should send to Ryan, and we'll just like help Ryan make these morning announcements as awesome as possible. Let's just say as TBTL-y as possible.
Yeah, I don't know if this. My mind went to things related to young people.
Okay,
I don't know if this is even actually where Ryan wants to go with this, but of course we have the famous in our world.
Kids and Fantasy.
Kids and Fantasy. Mm-hmm. This one's a little young, but I think it could still be a hit with the kids.
I just love hot cheetahs!
Yeah.
And then I think one of the more youthful things we've ever said, of course.
What's up?
I wouldn't send that one. It's not important what he's saying.
I was thinking of the same joke. Yeah, we should make a list of fun drops that Ryan can use. I love that he's just, you know, in as much as I don't like Sinclair Broadcasting, subtly forcing its political notions on the viewers of America, I love Ryan subtly forcing his podcast choices on the students at the high school.
Yeah, I do too. You know, I'm wondering if, I think it was the Kroll Show that had all of those, it had the fake Degrassi Junior High skit where I got like the cafetorium drop. I'm looking for that one now. I can't find it, but I'll find it after. Oh, here, maybe this is it. This is too long. I'll need to edit this into drops and send it to Ryan.
You'll be staying with two of our undergrads in their dorm rooms.
And what's a dorm room?
Oh, it's where the students sleep.
Oh, a room share.
Oh, I like that. And, you know, maybe eating meals with them in the dining hall.
And that's the cafetorium?
That one might not actually be breakout.
I think I always thought that was Kids in the Hall.
It sounds Kids in the Hall-y. Luckily, no. You know what the bummer with the Kids in the Hall is? And I love the Kids in the Hall, but it's laughter. Laugh track and live.
Yeah,
laughter.
Those are a killer.
Yeah.
And really too much music, too. There were certain shows. I mean, with 30 Rock, I think we just put up with it
because it's so
genius.
So good, yeah.
But there are some shows that you don't realize how much music they're putting under everything until you try to isolate a drop.
Yes.
And it's very distracting.
Yeah. So anyway, if you guys
You can email me at andrew@tbtl.net. Maybe you can throw them up on Slack. Any way you want to alert us to drops that you've heard Luke and me play, or Luke and I play.
For whom Luke and I would play.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll send them on to Ryan.
Sure, how about him?
Poop.
Whoa. That must have been Kanye.
Like, that sounds like a Lin Fam special right
there.
That
was a Kanye. I didn't know that was going to happen. I was just
got fammed.
That's what happens when you when I play these things at random off the computer. So, yeah, thanks, Ryan. Thanks for spreading the word on the show, even however sort of subconsciously you're doing so. Should we talk about and play a little music for your weekend?
That sounds good to me. Where are you feeling?
Well,
How are you feeling?
I've picked a Flag Day related song.
So did I.
So, I called it first, so you're going to have to pick a different song.
You're just doing this to torture me, because I told you before the show that I picked a flag.
Can you
it wasn't before.
It was on the show. Do you have anything for Arbor Day?
I do. Okay, Feed the Tree.
Well, then I'll do Flag Day. You do Arbor Day. No. What's your song?
I think we all know this song. It's one that we've all heard a million times, but I say we don't hear it enough these days. This is one that I will put on. If I am going to be rocking a jukebox in any kind of establishment for more than three or four songs...
Don't rock the jukebox.
I guarantee you.
I
want to
hear George Jones. R.I.P. Newman.
Neon Moon came on the playlist last night at Teddy's.
Oh, boy.
I had to take a moment.
Yeah, it was like, depending on where you might be in your cups, that can be emo still.
It is. Yeah, it's interesting. I only associate him with that song because I don't really have... That's not a song that comes up in my life a lot, and so I only think of him. Anyway, that was special. So we all know this song. I'm not even going to introduce it. Happy Flag Day, everybody. Buddy.
Oh, Sean Nelson and the crew of Harvey Danger.
Flagpole Sitter is the name of the song.
Weren't you and I talking about this song in Australia?
I feel like
somewhere, maybe on the plane.
I feel like you were talking about it on the show recently. Weren't
very
you described
possible.
Because you worked with him at the UW newspaper, you were telling
me. But he worked at what was called the Glass Onion, which was arts insert in the newspaper, and those were the like very cool people. I was writing the swimming. I was literally covering the swim team for
you
the sports
Danny
section.
O'Neil.
Me and old Danny O'Neil.
Maybe we did have that conversation off the air, actually.
But that was a very... Apologies if it was on the show and I'm just repeating myself. I like to try to wait, if I can, 4 months between repeating stories.
Uh-huh.
So this would be too close.
That's literally my process for reusing intros on the show. I go back and I can always
run a 4 month cycle with everything.
Exactly.
But that was just weird because I didn't really know Sean in those days. I observed him from afar. He was a very cool guy. I was not a cool guy. But it was quite surreal to have someone who I kind of at least knew and had maybe said five words to on MTV and having like the biggest song in the country. It was totally wild.
Well, it's funny to watch the video here. I don't know if I'd seen the video before. I'm sure I did way back in the day and maybe just didn't pay too much attention to it. But watching it here, he just looks so young. It's just so funny to see, I don't know, rock stars. And now I'm old and I'm like, wow, these are just children making music for children.
Yeah. Okay. I'm keeping things firmly in the old school category as well, even an older school. I don't know why, like, the song I'm about to play, everybody knows the song. I'm not, like, I'm not turning anyone on to new music, but maybe it's time to reexamine this song because it's so good. Our house band at Livewire actually played it as the warm-up song last night. I think it has maybe the best guitar opening, riff of it's up there in terms of songs that I love, and I have been listening to this. I listened to this song probably already 20 times today. Like while I was flying, I just put it on repeat, kind of in a meditative state or something. So anyway, I want to recommend Tears for Fears, their song Everybody Wants to Rule the World. You're going to play it from over there?
I don't actually have it in front of me
I've
right
now.
I've
got it right here. You ready?
Right there.
All
yep.
right. Take a listen, everybody. Remember which movie uses this at the end. Is it The Breakfast Club or Pretty in Pink? I feel like it's one of those. It's one of those kind of like John Hughes teen movies. The reason I think that happened was because I happened to be randomly watching Family Guy, and they did like a freeze frame and started playing the song, and it made me think this must be an homage to a real thing that happened.
Yeah, I don't think it's Breakfast Club. I think Breakfast Club is that Aha song, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I'm probably wrong about that and angering people more. I don't know what this was using, but boy, talk about baby faces. This guy was a baby face even when I was a baby face. I don't know the lead singer's name. He's kind of a cutie, though.
His name is Roland Orzabal.
Really?
I can't believe you didn't remember that.
Are you looking at that?
I'm at the Wikipedia page.
Oh, okay.
I always, in my mind, think of him as Rick Ocasek, because those names seem similar in my mind.
Yeah, it seems like he would have gone on. I'm kind of surprised that he's not somebody who we haven't heard of, like, who went on to
becoming,
reinvent himself.
Right,
in the
as a,
early
like a Danny
2000s.
Elfman
yeah,
kind
right,
of became,
yeah.
became like the, you know, great sort of composer for films and stuff.
Yeah, and I don't know why necessarily. I mean, this is just a good pop song, but you just kind of get the, there was a heaviness to it that I, you know, that I felt as a kid listening to this song. So seems like he would go on to, yeah, score movies or something. Maybe he did, and I just don't know it.
By the way, I think the song I'm thinking of at the end of Breakfast Club might be Don't You Forget About
yeah,
Me.
Yeah, that's it. Not
that
Aha.
That Simple Minds
Simple
song.
Minds. Sorry, everybody. Ugh.
But I'm just saying, if you're making a movie, we have some filmmakers in the audience, consider ending your film with a freeze frame and this song.
Yeah.
And then
I find it hard to believe this wasn't used in some John Hughes movie,
you know,
though.
I mean, the sad
way.
Part is we actually know somebody who works in the film industry, Andrew, and they were supposed to be on the show
oh, yeah.
today. And I was gonna give them that idea.
I feel
that
like was, we're not winning.
That was going to be... That was going to be my gift to them, but now we're losing.
It's not double good.
No, it's the opposite. Our listener song for your music for your weekend comes from listener Kathleen, and it is a Tierra Whack song. Tierra Whack is, talk about kind of just like popping up in the zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. I feel like everything's coming up Tierra Whack, mm-hmm. And it's all to the good. The song is Only Child by Tierra Whack, and Kathleen says, ah, I love this song. Every time I hear it, it's like hearing it for the first time. And she also mentions, apropos of kind of nothing, pro tip on waiting at Starbucks. As a professional Starbucks orderer, I must insist you download the app.
Oh.
So, word to the...
So that you can order your thing and then just go skip the line and
I guess, I don't know if you get to skip the line or not. I just feel like... I have the, it's the only thing I do that's fairly simple.
Yeah.
It could be more simple. It could be black coffee. Mm. But I have to say, I'm such not a man's man. I'm so not a person of simplicity that when I walk into any coffee shop and I just order a coffee black or, you know, a flat white or a long black.
A cuppa.
When I order a cuppa, it's the only time I kind of feel like I'm doing the lowest maintenance thing mm-hmm. at that place as compared to like very elaborate coffee drinks.
And especially because you're not like hacking it in some way. Either.
I'm not hacking
not
it. I'm just
technology.
Like, can I have a drip coffee with mm-hmm. room? And then I go handle the, you know, putting cream and stuff in it. So to me, going onto an app and ordering that, like It just seems like too much. It's too involved. And by the way, thank you for the listener suggestion and just a suggestion, Kathleen, the music suggestion. But to me, it's like I get some weird. This is so messed up, but I get some weird mild charge out of walking into a Starbucks and being the only person who's not ordering what I think of as an overly complicated drink.
Right. Sure.
Which is the saddest thing to take to get a self-esteem hit off of.
It does. I do find it somewhat intimidating, though, people like rattling off their orders. I don't know what any of those things mean.
I'm not intimidated by it. I'm annoyed by it, which is silly because there are first of all, I am actually dressing up my coffee. Mm-hmm. The most Marlboro Man thing you can do with this, and I mean the guy who was lighting. Did you see those billboards as a kid? The Marlboro Man, he was always camping. He was like a cowboy. Mm-hmm. There was like, I remember there was one on Aurora Avenue where he was like lighting his cigarette with like a giant long branch that he had, and it was like, that's what manhood is. I feel like the Marlboro Man would walk into Starbucks and he'd be like, what is this place? I've been living in a billboard from the 80s. I'm very confused. But once he got over that, he would say, coffee black. His voice would be exactly Sam
Elliott
from many movies. He would Sam Elliott and he would say, one coffee black. And that would be the most kind of traditionally masculine order you could do.
I disagree. I think the Marlboro Man would go to Broadcast Coffee.
Ah.
A little plug for my
friend. You having dinner with Barry later?
No, but I'll plug him.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
I do love that
Starbucks
place.
Doesn't need any more plugs ever again in the history of the world. Broadcast Coffee, where they always make your order right. I'm trying to come up with a... I'm trying to come up with a tagline for them.
Where dreams come true, and Andrew sometimes writes the newsletter. That's their official tagline now, I believe.
Okay, so we're going to play this Tierra Whack song, and we're also going to say, I think there might be a couple swears on this, so just, you know, be ready for that. And be ready for us to come right back here on Monday morning with more Imaginary Radio for you. Until then, enjoy your weekend, and please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Selfish, better really care wait until you're gonna need my help. Helpless, you ain't never think about nobody but yourself. Selfish, better really care wait until you're gonna need my help. Helpless,
you must be the only child, because you're so stingy. I just wanna go fuck wild when you don't defend me. I've been on the fucking prowl. I've been counting Mindy's. You didn't turn my heart so cold. I should work it freely. Darling, darling, I've been praying for you, for you.
I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you. I've been praying. I've been praying for you.
Darling, darling, I've been calling on God for you. No, for you.
Power out.